Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to continue through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Where we are at today is simply an in brief section that will round up and wrap up our understanding of both angels and the order of creation. And it's the very important points that we need to be taking away from that. But before we get into that, we are going to offer up our prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mary Immaculate, our Mother and Consolation, with confidence we take refuge in your most loving heart. You are one of our dearest objects of love and veneration. You are the one to whom we have recourse because you are a dispenser of the treasures of heaven. Treasures that allow us to live in peace during times of sorrow and are a light when we have doubts, a protection when we are in danger, and a help in every one of our needs. Be therefore our refuge, strength, and consolation, O Mary, the Consoler, and at the hour of our death, graciously receive the last sigh of our heart so that we may obtain a place in the heavenly home with Jesus, your Son, in a place where all hearts will praise with one accord the adorable heart of Jesus, as well as your most lovable heart forever. Our tender mother, comforter of the afflicted, pray for us who have recourse to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that beautiful prayer this morning because it reminds us of how interconnected we are and how we get to heaven through the help of others. It's not just us striving for salvation all by ourselves. We are a church. We are a community of believers, and we help one another get there. It's not you, me, and it's not you and a Bible and an island all by yourself trying to make it. You're not an island unto yourself. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're a member of a kingdom. There are others that are subject to God with you. God is not just your Father. He is our Father. And that's why we pray to Mary in such a way, because it reminds us of how interconnected we are. It's a reminder that God has not only asked us to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's where we go into intercessory prayer, and we ask people to pray for us, like our pastors and our friends and our family and so on and so forth, when we reach difficult times. And it includes even those who are considered to be saints by the Catholic Church, because we're an interconnected family that helps one another get to heaven. And that's the gist of that particular prayer. And I kind of like it, especially during this October month when we're reflecting upon the rosary and Mary's importance and how that importance reflects in the greater communion of saints that we are all a part of. And it reminds us, as we get to section 350 of the Catechism and we begin to review what we've been learning about angels and creation, about how the angels are part of this communion of saints as well. Because as 350 points out, angels are spiritual creatures who glorify God without ceasing and who serve his plans who serve his saving plans for other creatures. The angels work together for the benefit of all of us. This is something that St. Thomas Aquinas discussed in his Summa Theologica. And it's recorded here in the Catechism so that we can really reflect upon this idea about how the angels, in glorifying God, serve his saving plan for other creatures. And it reminds us that we need to serve God's saving plan in helping others get to heaven as well, because that's our whole entire goal. We are going forth toward an eternal destiny, a destiny in which we will spend an eternity. Either serving God or not serving God. And that's the main thing that goes into this particular thought. And we need to be the kind of people that show forth God's love, God's saving mercy, God's benefit, so that others will come to know him and serve him as well. As 351 continues this thought, it tells us that the angels surround Christ, their Lord. They serve him especially in the accomplishment of his saving mission to humanity, or to men, to people. It's not just man himself, it's men and women. It's all who serve him. See, the angels work together for the benefit of everyone. This is a repeated thought here. We have a guardian angel that assists us in making it to heaven, and that is his whole entire plan, if you will. It's his whole entire purpose is to help us get to heaven so that we get there to praise God for all eternity and are able to be the kind of people that we need to be. The guardian angel that we have may not be fully known to us or realized by us in this life, and it's not necessary. But he is that extra helper that guides us to heaven. As Psalm 91 tells us, well, if we truly want to serve God and truly love him, and if we truly set our affections upon God, God will commission his angels, if you will, to make sure that our foots don't stub our toes, if you will, or trip on a rock and fall. Because in using this figurative language, it's to show us how the angel helps guide us and make sure we don't fall into sin or temptation or get into a very bad situation where we end up losing God and our eternal souls. So it's there. I mean, that's the point of why God commissions his angels, is so that they help us get to heaven. And it's a reminder that we ought to be helping one another in the same way. We ought to be encouraging one another. We ought to be making sure that the obstacles to a person's ability to love God is removed. That's why we have things like the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy, is to be able to help others in the same sense that these angels are helping us. Does it mean that they will secure for us, if we totally reject God and all that jazz, our eternal salvation? No, because we still have to cooperate with this grace. We still have to cooperate with the love that we experience from others in order to truly reach our eternal home and get this eternal destiny done up the way it's supposed to be. So there, in that nutshell, is kind of the future hope that we all have. And this is the reason why, as 352 tells us, that the church venerates the angels who help us on our earthly pilgrimage and protect every human being. And I want you to note the word venerates here. Many people say that we worship other individuals and people other than God. But the church chooses instead not worship, but veneration. What is veneration? Well, veneration is more or less a recognition of an important position that somebody else holds and recognizing them simply because they hold that position. An example of veneration rather than worship happens a lot of time in the military when you see junior soldiers saluting higher-ranking soldiers. It's a recognition of their rank, it's a recognition of their authority, and it shows forth that there's something about that particular individual that's higher than them. That salute is a simple act or gesture of veneration. Whether we think about it or not, that's what it is. when the President of the United States walks into a room, that we all stand and allow him to come in and show deference to his position. That is an example of veneration. It's not an act of worship, but it's an act of veneration. In the Old Testament, we'll see time and time again where individuals will fall down before rulers and do them homage, if you will, or veneration. Some translations put the designation in a sense that it makes you think that they're worshiping them. We can see this especially in Old Testament accounts, like in Esther, when it talks about how Esther goes in before the king Ahasuerus, and she falls down before him when she enters into the throne room to try to gain his favor, and she's fainting before him because she's recognizing his position in that particular situation. And it's showing a deference to where he has to reach out and point to her and show her the golden scepter so that she has a right and a privilege to be in his presence. Kind of like how God has to recognize us in prayer in order for our prayers to be effective when we pray in the name of Jesus, how that whole dynamic works out. We also see it in situations like when Israel or Jacob runs into his brother Esau after many years, and he bows down to the ground and more or less worships him in a sense, giving him homage to show him deference for his position as being greater than him. And this shows up in various other parts of the Old Testament, and it even shows up in the New Testament, like when John the Apostle in Revelation shows deference to an angel and bows down before him, falls down as dead, as the scripture says, and shows him veneration. Why is this important for us to understand the difference between veneration and worship? Because a lot of times when we're dealing with situations like in the prayer today with Mary, veneration is more what we're giving rather than worship, even though the rest of the world may misunderstand our deference to Mary's position as worship and want to say that we're blaspheming God or worshiping others before God and really misunderstanding the role. I mean, if a ruler came in, like say Queen Elizabeth, and you bowed or curtsied before her, depending upon what was proper in the situation, people would say that instead of showing proper veneration or proper respect to, you're worshiping her. And that's not the point, or that's not the thing that's going on. You're showing deference to her position as Queen of England. And that's something that's very important for us to get. It's a difference between worshiping God and showing deference to a person in a position of authority. And this is where we get into venerating angels. We recognize Saint Michael. We recognize Saint Gabriel. We recognize also Saint Raphael. Those are the archangels that we recognize in the prayers of the Mass. There's a prayers where we recognize the seraphim and cherubim when we sing out the holy, 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 and do other prayers throughout the Mass. So it's a recognition of their help in our lives. And that's kind of important if we really really want to understand what the church is talking about, because we do recognize their place in helping us get through this pilgrimage that we're in and how they protect us from all wrongdoing. As 353 continues to build upon this idea, it tells us that God willed the diversity of his creatures and their own particular goodness and their own independence and their own order, showing that every creature has its place. It's not just the angels above everything else, although the angels are important. It shows that every creature whether it's a dog, a cat, a fish, a tree, a plant, everything, even the sun, even the moon, the planets, asteroids, everything that's created, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, all have their own particular goodness. I know that blows your mind to think about, but yes, even a tornado can be a good thing. Rain can be a good thing. Sunshine can be a good thing. It can also be a bad thing. As Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount, God lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust, and the sun to shine on the righteous and the wicked. There's no deference in God. He doesn't show respect toward one individual over another. Everything has its rightful place. Well, is rain good or rain bad? Is the sun good or is the sun bad? It depends on the situation. Because if you're in a desert and you haven't had any kind of water for days, sunshine can be a bad thing. It can cause a drought. It can cause a famine simply by drying up everything. So there's a need for rain. Elijah withheld rain for years, and then he prayed again and rain fell. So rain can be a good thing. And that's something people forget, especially because they're not really thinking big picture. There is an interdependence that we have on the sun and on the rain and on other things, because without the sun, we don't have the warmth that we have on this planet. And all this talk of global warming is BS that goes out the window tomorrow, because we would freeze to death by not having the warmth of the sun keeping us warmer than space outside of our own planet, because that's what happens if there is no proper dependence upon the sun. This is where we get into gratitude and how we're supposed to. And everything fits their place in order. Just as the sun has a particular function that keeps this planet going, and sun, rain, and everything else has its particular function to keep this planet going, so does being a male or a female. You just have to find your spot. You can't assume to be in a spot that you're not called to. I mean, this is one of the biggest problems that people get when, say, women talk about becoming priest. You have to fit your spot. Just because you're not a priest or can't be a priest does not mean you're not important to God. Not everybody in the body of Christ can be priest. Not everybody in the body of Christ can be an eye, because if the entire body was an eye, where would the hearing be? That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talks about the diversity of the body. Not all have the speaking in tongues, not all are prophets, not all are apostles, not all are bishops. There has to be some guy in the pew. I mean, there's a reason why you're not exalted. And that's why the greatest gift that you can do is service. So that's where the important comes in. 353 continues, God has destined all material creatures for the good of the human race. Everything that's been created has been created for good. And this even includes your own bodies. Your own bodies have a benefit for you. Humanity, and through him all creation, is destined for the glory of God. You are here to be a praiser, a worshiper of God. That is the whole point and function of who you are in the universe. 354, respect for the laws inscribed in creation and the relations which derive from the nature of things is a principle of wisdom and the foundation of morality. This is probably the most important message to today's situation that we have. Having respect for the laws of creation, having respect for the fact of knowing that you're a man or knowing that you're a woman and not trying to be something that you're not, is important. Respect for that. This whole confusion about what gender is nothing more than a disrespect for the law of nature. Not recognizing the proper use of your sexual who you are is the problem that people have out there. I mean, everybody wants to talk about it being brave to disrespect who you are and use your expression for self-gratification. That's not why you were created. You're not created unto yourself. You're created because you're depending upon others and others are dependent upon you. This gets back to the interdependence of everything. No one survives without the other. So we are interdependent. We are responsible for one another. We need one another, and this is why we exist. We depend upon the angels to help us out, and we depend on each other to help us out. So this is where the importance comes into play. And when we truly recognize this, we truly live up to our full potential, our full destiny, and we become who we are meant to be in Christ. And that, in and of itself, is a very blessed thing.